Bibles tonight to Haggai chapter 1. We got all the way to verse 2 last week of chapter 1. We'll be picking up the pace here very soon. Let's read verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. All right? Now they were making an excuse why they weren't building the house of God. They were blaming it on the providence of God. They were saying, all right, it's just not the Lord's time right now. Well, I tell you what, Haggai was a prophet sent by the Lord. And he gets right to the heart of the issue in verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? He gives them some very searching questions to consider. Now, the thing I love about Haggai the prophet and this book, the way that it's written, is the emphasis. Over and over again, at the beginning of this prophecy, we see the emphasis placed on the authority of the word of the Lord. In verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, everything he's preaching, everything he's proclaiming, he said, this is the word of the Lord. You better hear what God has to say. And oh, that we would take heed today to the authority and the preeminence of the word of the Lord in our daily lives. And I pray that God will raise up men who will preach only God's word faithfully, boldly, consistently. Now Haggai lays bare the hypocrisy of these Jews. They were saying that it wasn't time to build the Lord's house. But he points out that they had plenty of time to build their own houses. The prophet rebukes them for sparing no time or expense on the building and furnishing of their own houses while the house of God laid in virtual ruins and had been that way for nearly 16 years. They started and they quit when they met with opposition. And then they said, well, it's just not the Lord's time. Let's go ahead and build our houses. Let's take care of our stuff. Now, granted, these were troublesome times. They'd been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Cyrus decreed for them, made the proclamation. They came back to Jerusalem. They started. They met opposition while they were building. And they were in poverty. There was a drought. And so our natural way of thinking is, well, let's the prophet, why don't we cut him some slack? You know, I mean, these are hard times. God comes first. That is the message of this prophet. He was not demeaning them in doing the work of their own houses. He was exposing their sin. They would have had time to do both. But they gave all the emphasis to their own personal interest rather than the house of God. And God rebukes them through the prophet. You see, they were zealous in their personal pursuits, but they were neglectful of the house of God. Boy, doesn't it sound like modern day America? And a lot of professing Christendom? I mean, we live in a day where most people are always doing their own thing, and if it's convenient for them to fill in with God a little bit, they'll throw in a little bit of time. But oh no, we're not going to put God first. His house is not going to be a priority. God rebuked him for it. H.A. Ironside said this in his commentary: when the conscience is not active, people readily interpret circumstances to suit themselves. And at such times, it's often amazing the amount of energy that will be expended on that which ministers to one's own comfort, whereas utter indifference characterizes that which is connected with the Lord's glory. Thus, saints have time and means for much that does not profit, who find it difficult to get a few hours for a meeting or to spare their means for the furtherance of the gospel. Once let the conscience be an exercise, and all will be in its place. You know, that's a great observation. You see, we can justify neglecting God, His Word, His house, the prayer closet, witnessing, if we think that we're being benefited in some way, we can justify it all. And that's what they were doing. You know what? He didn't let up. He gave these questions. And boy, have you ever been listening to a preacher and he hits you? I mean, it's like a bolt, a thunderbolt. When something really hits you, well, here they were making all these excuses why they couldn't build the house. Well, it's not the Lord's time. And this old prophet looks at him and says, well, you know what? You got plenty of time to take care of your own house and furnish your own house while the house of God lays waste. Well, he didn't stop there. He says in verse 5, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts. There it is again. Everything and preachers would do well to follow the example of Haggai. You don't have to attack people personally when you're preaching the Word of God. You just say, here's what God says. This is what His Word says. This is for you. He does this over and over again, and it worked. I'm working right now on the next part of this. I'm ahead of what you guys are getting. And it's so exciting to see what God did in such a short amount of time, how the people responded to this hard, strong, scathing preaching. God used it. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and you bring in little. We've had years like that, haven't we, Joe? Especially with the corn. Last year, man, we had a bumper crop of corn, and it was good corn. But man, we've had years where one year, believe it or not, chipmunks got our corn. Chipmunks, man! You could see them where they dug the little hole, where they got the little kernels out. Oh, man, it was making me so mad. I wanted to poison them. I wanted to do something to them. But when you're doing corn, it's the hardest thing in the garden, I think. Especially the way Joe makes you work it. I mean, there's hoeing and weeding and then you see coons coming. And it's like you're getting ready to harvest this patch of corn, and you're looking forward to getting the ears. And it's like the raccoons have a big meeting in their dens or wherever. Yeah, you know what? I think Pemberton's thinking about getting his corn. I think they're thinking about getting that this week. We need to do something about it. And they go down there and get everything. Oh! We sow much, we bring in little. It happens sometimes. Well, this was happening. Not just on a corn patch, but on all their crops. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but ye are not warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now once again, the prophet is exhorting them to listen to what the Lord God, Jehovah, the Almighty, the Sovereign of the entire universe, who is called the Most High, what He has to say. The omnipotent, omnipresent God is calling them to account for their attitudes and their actions. And His word ought to take precedent over everything else. And He's saying, listen carefully to what God says and hearken to it with all your might. Consider your ways. Twice in these three verses, they're called upon to consider your ways. What's that mean? Think seriously about what you're doing, where you're heading, and what God thinks about your ways. How many people ever ask those simple questions? What does God think about the way that I'm going? What I'm doing? You see, it's a solemn call to self-examination, which most men are loath to do. Most would rather do what they want than to give any thought whatsoever as to whether it pleases God or not. Men are self-willed, and thus are often headed in the wrong direction because of their sinful bent. Thank God for prophets like Haggai, who over and over again says, this is what God says. You need to hearken, listen, consider the way that you're going. Well, you know, I thought about this phrase, consider your ways. And then I thought, over and over again in the Holy Scriptures, men are warned to turn from their wicked ways unto God. 9 times out of 10, it's probable that the way you think is right is wrong. Especially if you're lost. If you're listening to this tonight, you're lost. 9 times out of 10, what you think is right is wrong when it comes to the things of God. Men are bent towards sin and are so often blinded by Satan that they actually think their way is the right way, when in fact it's dead wrong and will lead to utter destruction. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But think, I wrote out several scriptures as I thought about this. Proverbs 14:12, a famous one. Everybody knows it, right? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There again, consider your ways. They often lead to eternal destruction because men won't repent of their sin and their wickedness, and they reject Christ to their own peril. Proverbs 13, 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Well, you ever seen somebody whose life's been wrecked by drugs or alcohol or immorality, and they're 50 years old and they look like they're 75? The way of the transgressor is hard. Isaiah 53, 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 1, 6. In contrast to the blessed man, the godly man, it says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Huge contrast. Jeremiah 10, 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. We live in an age where most people who are civilized are in reality spiritual heathen. You say, where are all they? Go to Walmart, man. There's lots. I had to go to Walmart today. There's heathen everywhere that needed the Lord. Every one of those scriptures clearly attests that man's way is sinful, wicked, contrary to God, and will ultimately end in misery and judgment. So how wise is it for the prophet to say, consider your ways? You're not doing right. You're going about this all wrong. And that's why everything is going wrong. God says in Isaiah 32, or 30, verse 21, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Yet man's common response to God's admonition is found in Jeremiah 6, 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We want nothing to do with your way. We want our way. Boy, that leads a lot of people to destruction. Because your way, apart from God, is usually wrong. And I say tonight, dear child of God, don't be like these rebellious Israelites. Consider your ways. Let me ask you some questions. Is your home and marriage in line with God's word? And are you under His authority? Children, are you obeying your parents in the Lord because it's right? And that's the first commandment with promise. Parents, are you training your children in the way they should go? By word and by example? Are you actively serving the Lord and being a witness for Christ? Consider your ways. Are you faithful to the Lord's church? Are you being honest in paying your tithes and offerings? Are you daily reading and applying the truths of God's Word? Are you separating from the world and sin to be consecrated to Christ? Consider your ways. Examine your heart. Now in verse 6, the prophet details the utter futility of putting self rather than God first. They were sowing seed, but failing to reap a bountiful harvest. They were eating and drinking, but they never felt full or nourished. They were always lacking. They were putting on clothes, but they failed to keep them warm. They were earning money only to lose it. Their ways had been unprofitable, and yet they thought they were doing right by just tending to their own interests. But everything turned out bad. God was judging and chastening them, but they failed to recognize it. They went on in their own way without ever thinking that they were on the wrong track. Boy, that's a terrible place to be. T.V. Moore wrote in 1856, "No man ever gains anything by trying to cheat God. He makes a fool's bargain, bartering a real good for a perishing bauble, and losing at last even what he gained." You know, Jesus plainly told us how to remedy these problems, didn't he? It's so simple. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We'll stop there tonight and pick up with verse 8. Next time I'm here. I won't be here next Wednesday. Brother Malo will be filling in for me.